How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we're going to be talking about politics broadly. I wanted to start off by talking about some of the local issues going on. One of the sirens, I think, I might get the name of the state for Jefferson Street, maybe, like one of those sirens. I don't remember the name of the street, but there is a siren that is non-functional, I guess. And, yeah, so I guess that's a problem. I mean, there was a story a while back about how, like, none of the sirens were functional, but I guess that's not true. The city came out and said that all of the sirens were functional, and then, like, 3 days later, they were like, oh, but this one doesn't work. I don't know. I mean, it could just be bad timing, I guess, but it certainly is not the best look, you know? They said it I guess, can't be fixed. I don't know. I think everything can be fixed, for the most part. They did say that they could have, that it was like $55,000 because it was $60,000, but they could get $5,000 credit for like work done with city workers, and which would make it $55,000. And, you know, they said that we don't have the money to do that, which we don't. I mean, that's valid. We are, again, I don't know why I say we so much. I don't live in the city, but they, I suppose, they have no money to do so. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure that they get donations for all kinds of things. I'm pretty sure the flowers are donations. I think the party in the park was $40,000. I think the county gave $10,000. I think the city gave $10,000. I think $20,000 was privately funded. If I remember correctly. So, I mean, that's $20,000 from, you know, businesses and private interest right there. I'm sure you could get the local businesses to give you enough money. There's a lot, like Whirlpool. I think Graphic Packaging is still around. We have Silverline, you know, things like that. I mean, Yashio. We have all kinds of big businesses around the city. I don't know which ones are actually in the city, but I mean the storm sirens, I guess, are for everybody. So I'm sure they could do it as far as getting donations to do so. I mean, I don't know how many sirens there are, but if it's 55, I don't know what all the $55,000 is to maintenance. Maybe it's just like the ones that are broken. Like offer to like, I don't know, do something. Just name them something. You know, don't actually put any names on it or anything. Just say, oh, look at this. This is the Whirlpool siren, because Whirlpool paid to fix it. Yeah, I mean, you could do that. I mean, if it makes them feel better. I wouldn't actually spend any money or time putting anything on there, but we could just say, oh, look at that, Whirlpool. I mean, I think you could get it done. So, I don't know why they don't try that, but I guess we will see what happens with the siren, and or potentially the sirens plural, if the money was for all the sirens. Also, flock cameras are gonna be coming back. The flock cameras, well, I guess they never went away, but flock camera funding has been secured via a grant. And I think the grant didn't cover something like $2,000, and the sheriff's department, I do believe. Was able to negotiate the price down so we could afford the government surveillance. I don't know. I've said on here, I'm sure of it. I don't know. I think the flock cameras are not great. You know, the courts have ruled against me many a time. Well, not me personally, obviously. I've never gone to the courts, but they've ruled against the whole flock being a violation many times. But, you know, I don't think that the government should have cameras. I don't know. It just seems not great. I mean, I don't know what more there is to say, really, but I think that people should not be surveilled. I mean, I don't know exactly how it works, but, oh, we're getting a call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, you know what I think?
What's that?
I think any time you enter a store or a public building, you should have to put one of your hands on a reader. so it can read your hands and all the prints on your fingers. And if you are in it, if you do a life of crime, then it's going to detect you. As a store owner, you know, we used to have the drive-thrus and party store, the pizza shops. You know how many customers come in there that are so-so? And they'll drive down from Columbus to places like, you know, Richwood and Prospect and stuff and do a robbery. Right here in town, over off of Clinton Street, there's a little, have you ever seen it? It's a little mart there. Years ago, it had a drive-thru and a pizza place in it and a laundromat, and a guy from Prospect owned it. And somebody came in there and robbed him and shot him, killed him. We was robbed in our pizza shops a couple times. We was robbed several times of break-ins. But I'm sorry, you know, if you lead a life of crime, I'm not afraid to put my hand on a reader.
Why don't we just let cops search everybody's houses? We'd find all the drugs. We'd find all the kidnapped people. We'd find all the I don't know. We'd find all the everything. There'd be no more crimes.
No, I'm not. You're taking it way too far.
No, it'd solve all the problems. We'd find all the kidnapped
you
people,
have
all the criminals, all the.
In your home. But when you leave your home, you do not have the right to do criminal acts.
No, I agree. You don't have the right to do criminal acts, yes.
Okay, so if your fingerprints get you in trouble for killing somebody or robbing somebody or conning somebody, I can't feel sorry for you. What would happen if you touched a... put your hand on a reader?
What do you mean?
Is there anything that you would worry about that reader's going to pick up?
Like as far as from a crime scene?
No, I'm talking about if you went into Walmart, or you went into the corner drive-thru, or any place you go in, you went into the courthouse, put your hand on the reader and let it read your prints.
But for what purpose? I'm confused.
If that store don't want you in there, they can say no. You do not have an automatic right to go into the store owner and the property
owner.
Yeah,
you're right. Businesses have
the right
to refuse.
Tell you to get out of here.
That's correct.
Now, if you can prove it was race, then they could get in trouble. But they don't have to serve you. And if you're afraid of getting yourself in trouble by putting a hand on a reader, I don't really care, you know? You got DUIs or you fighting with the cops because you were so damn drunk and blah, 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 you know? You hit on a police officer and got it for Leo. That's not the stuff that you should... I'm not worried about that. I'm not doing anything like that. Never done anything like that in my life. Don't ever plan to. So I don't see what the problem is. Those flock cameras, I think, are great.
Explain to me how flock cameras prevent crime.
They read the license plates, and if there's somebody wanted... that comes into town with a plate that they're trying to find, it'll read it, and then the cops can get to him.
But that's not preventing a crime.
You think the drug dealer from Chicago had the right to come down here and sell their drugs to people, and then there's people here in this community turn around and sell those drugs and make more money off of them? No, they don't have that right.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, yes, that's a crime.
You know, in most parts and public places, they and almost all stores these days, record. You know, have cameras that are recording you. Is that intruding on your rights? You disagree with those cameras watching you?
Do I disagree
they
with
that? They wouldn't have caught those two that was doing the shooting a while back. The one guy, I guess, was just, put to death over it.
He might have been sentenced to death. I don't think he was put to death.
I mean, you know, the law can go too far. But if you aren't in trouble and you're not the type of person that's going to go attacking the... Let's say the law comes up to you and says, you're detained. We want to question you. Start biting them.
Well, you can't just detain me for no reason. So if you walk up to me and say you're detained, if a cop comes up to me and asks me if I'm tells me I'm detained, I'm probably going to ask them why I'm detained. You can't just detain me for no reason. You can't question me for no reason.
They don't have to tell you that.
You can't just ask for my ID for no reason. But they do. Cops do that all the time. Now, I've never had it happen to me, but it certainly happened.
Well, was you ever with somebody that it happened?
I've been pulled over for, like, speeding and stuff like that before, and they ask the person in the passenger seat for their ID also. They're not supposed to do that. I mean, I don't know if they're not supposed to, per se, but, I mean, the person in the passenger seat isn't obligated to give it to them.
Now, if he starts mouthing and
But I bet you if the person in the passenger seat said, I'm not required to give you my license, the cop's going to assume, oh, that's pretty suspicious. Why won't you just give me your license? The cop has no right to do that.
If you don't have your seatbelt on, you get a ticket for that, and you are required to identify yourself just because you don't have a seatbelt on. Now, I can't really say that's good, but that's the way the law is, and, you know.
I don't think it's good, but that's the way it is. That's I like it. I don't think that's great, but...
Once they take one right away, that they're going to take all your rights away.
You don't even have the right to not wear a seatbelt in the car anymore. Who are you harming by not wearing a seatbelt other than yourself?
Well, you're basically harming yourself.
Exactly. People love that choice. That's stupid.
But then seatbelts, if you look at the big picture, they save a lot of lives. But I'm a big person. And then I got hairy face, you know, it catches on your hair and pulls all the time. I mean, I don't like seatbelts, but you're allowed to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. Now tell me if that should be allowed. There's imperfect things to...
I think you are...
All prop. Like I was telling Scott the other day, any program you make, Medicare, food stamps, you know, even the Red Cross and charities and stuff like, there's fraud and stuff in every program you try. You do. But you gotta look at the big picture. Did you hear about Pete Buttigieg?
No.
Well, while the break was on, I flipped it over and was watching a thing on YouTube, and somebody called and made a report against Pete Buttigieg and his wife, or his husband, and said some accusations of some misdoings with him, you know, with him and his husband and the children. And they got twin daughters that are 4 years old. So the law comes out to Pete Buttigieg, and they take the kids. The kids have to go to their grandma's. Buttigieg's not allowed to see him for, it was 24 hours. And then they took the kids in separate and talked to three different investigators, and those kids are only 4 years old. They didn't even tell Pete Buttigieg what the complaint was, what he's supposed to have done, until after he did an interview, and then they told him. And the right-wing MAGA stupid people could say that all the violence is, you know, the Democrats are talking violence, you know, against everybody, doing violence. Charlie Kirk gets shot. That was a Democrat. They call it the radical left wing?
Yep.
But, you know, nothing was substantiated over it, but, you know, I can't blame Pete. You know, he made a little...
Hey, speaking of Charlie Kirk, by the way, it wasn't even on my list to talk about, but you brought it up. The man who I can't, Tyler Robinson, I think maybe is his name. I'm not sure. But the dude who shot Charlie Kirk, one of his lawyers was I can't think of the word. But one of his lawyers got in trouble because he was saying things outside of court that he shouldn't have been saying, I guess.
The court put a gag order on something.
He was held in contempt of court.
So the judge must have said, you know, if there was a gag order on saying stuff to the media and stuff.
A Utah judge held a prosecutor in contempt on Friday for speaking to the media about the murder case against the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk. Yeah, well, Tyler Robinson.
The judge has a trial going on, and... Was it the prosecutor doing the prosecuting of Charlie Kirk's murder?
Yes.
You know, that makes it... If it was just a lawyer here in town that said something, said he knew something, you know, I don't think that would be all right, but... I don't know, just the radical left-wingers are always promoting violence.
Apparently he told...
I'll get off here and listen to you, Matt.
Okay, sounds good.
Later.
All right, so, I guess real quickly, now that this has been brought up, I suppose, apparently he told TMZ that, was addressing what he described as misinformation regarding the ballistics testing, because I guess there was some confusion with that, I suppose. And he told TMZ that the state had, quote-unquote, ample evidence to demonstrate Robinson committed the alleged crime. He also said, when the results of a bullet fragment analysis come back as inconclusive, that does not mean the rifle did not fire the bullet. And I guess, I don't know, he said this to a news outlet, which is there was a gag order for, I guess, talking to the media as it's an ongoing trial, and, you know, that's not a thing that's supposed to happen. But yeah, I mean, I guess this all started with the flock cameras, so I still think the flock cameras are, you know, I don't know, government surveillance is bad. I don't know a whole lot to say with it, but I think the government surveillance is not great, just like the Patriot Act. I do still plan on, by the way, I might have said this last week, I don't recall, but I do still plan on, by the way, doing a show on just the Patriot Act and you know, the abuses of the Patriot Act and explaining the Patriot Act a bit more. Yeah. So there's that. I think that'll be a good show when I get around to it. I've been meaning to do it for a while, but I never have put in the research for some reason. But yeah. So, by the way, if you wanted to call in, feel free. 740-383-9944. So far, we've only talked about the sirens and the flock cameras. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we got a message out there while we had the caller on the line. They wouldn't have caught them without flock cameras. Isn't that what good old police work is for? I would assume it's probably just like, you know, it helps the police do their work, and it's just a part of police work now. I mean, they want to use, like, they have police drones. I think some departments have them yet, but they're not widespread. They have, like, police drones that, like, can fly through buildings. That way you can, like, you know, examine I can't think of the word for some reason. But that way you can, like, you know, take in the information, gather some intel about who's inside, and if anybody's armed, and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what a good drone's going to do. Shut the door. Problem solved. Drone can't get in through the door. Drone don't have hands. So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of the... I don't know. I think technology has made... I don't know. I don't trust it. I don't... yeah. Flock cameras are bad, I think. And, I think the city could definitely get the money to fix the sirens through the... through, you know, private interest in business. Anyways, that's all I got for the local stuff. I'm sure there's something I'm leaving out there, but nonetheless, Judge Emmett Sullivan ordered the Justice Department to either release unredacted versions of several Epstein files on late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein or explain why it can't do so, following a lawsuit accusing Attorney General Todd Blanche of improperly redacting documents. They have they have until Thursday, July 2nd to comply. By the way, they listed off some of the documents here. The documents in question include 8 emails with either the sender or recipient blacked out, a draft indictment of Epstein with the names of potential co-conspirators obscured. And a 2019 email that mentioned several co-conspirators whose names were redacted. By the way, he also ordered the Justice Department to release FBI documents that summarized Trump's connections to Epstein. And if they couldn't, they had to say why, and they also have to log all the redactions. Yeah, I think that's it. They have to log all the redactions. There might be something else that I'm missing there, but nonetheless, I think that that's good, you know? Once again, I think the courts are coming in clutch with that one. You know, I don't know what'll come of this. Maybe nothing will come of this, and then the administration will just act like nothing happened. But I'm interested to see what happens. I'm interested to see how they explain this. Incredibly interested to see what they say, because I don't see a world in which they release those documents unredacted. But I also don't know how they're gonna justify not doing so. And So I think that'll be interesting, like I said. I think the redactions of the Epstein files that they made were probably, like, I don't know. Trying to figure out how to describe. I'm not good with words right now, apparently. But, essentially, I just can't wait to hear what kind of nonsense the administration gives as to why they can't release this stuff. I mean, at the very least, it doesn't look, it doesn't look very good. It looks kind of shady. To have senders redacted and co-conspirators redacted and things like that. It's pretty weird. But, I don't know. There's that, I guess. I guess we will see what happens. But, if they release everything, if everything comes back unredacted, by the way, I'll be more than happy to get on here, say I was wrong, and then talk about what was released. But I don't think the majority of that stuff's getting unredacted. But we could always be wrong. Go ahead, caller.
If everything comes back unredacted, by the way, I'll be more than happy to get on here, say I was wrong, and then talk about it.
Go ahead.
But, Matt?
Yeah.
God, I forget what I was going to say now.
Well?
Oh, is what I was going to say. I'm not... would like to see this change. Having the everybody in the Treasury, the FBI, all those departments, the health director, all be under one person. They're responsible to one person. And if the president wants to do what he, Trump is doing, all of them could have done stuff like that. And this is just showing us that the president shouldn't be over the IRS, shouldn't be over FBI, you know, things like that. It shouldn't be more than just the president.
I mean, the president's not directly over the FBI. I mean, he appoints the FBI director, but
FBI director's going to do what he says.
I mean, he could be fired. Yeah, I mean, there's always that. I mean, the president's your boss.
He'll lose his little cushy job that he's got. So that's how the president has control of those departments, because everybody he puts at the head of it works for him. I don't know. That's just point I want. You give your opinion. I'll listen to you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, yeah, I mean, everybody works for him. I mean, there's that. I mean, that's obviously why the Supreme Court votes the way they do. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court's supposed to be nonpartisan, unbiased, that kind of thing. But it was. I mean, they certainly aren't as of currently. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, like I said, I don't know how they're gonna chalk it up to, like I said, I would love to see how the administration, tells us that they can't really, unredact these documents. It'd be mind-boggling to read, and, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I gotta find this book that Scott was talking about earlier. I mean, he was talking about how a journalist from the, I don't know, somewhere, I don't remember where, but, nor can I remember the name, I'm terrible with names, but she released a book detailing, like, you know, things about Donald Trump. Like apparently he has somebody whose job it is to leave him notes of affirmation every so often, you know, tell him how great he is at his job and things like that. And apparently sometimes they see him in there, like, super gluing things to, like above the fireplace. I don't know. It's an interesting time we live in right now. I don't know. Sometimes I think the jokes about Donald Trump write themselves, but, you know, it's sad. I mean, we probably really are the laughingstock of the world right now. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, we're a year and a half in, 2.5 years left to go. Halfway to three quarters of the way, I guess, to midterms. Midterms, obviously, the halfway point. But hopefully, 2 years of Donald Trump is really all we get, because hopefully that there's such an overturn in the government that we can just cast Donald Trump out. But I don't know. I mean, maybe J.D. Vance is just as bad. J.D. Vance is a smart guy, but I don't really trust J.D. Vance either at this point. So, you know, I don't know what you do about that, but it's an interesting time. But, like I said, Epstein files. I'm interested to see what happens, but I don't know that a whole lot's gonna happen. But, there is that. Like I said, they have till Thursday, the 2nd, to comply, so I'm they might wait until, kind of like what they did with the Kennedy Center. They were given a date to comply with taking the taking Trump's name off of it, but they like the day before Trump's name was supposed to be taken off of it, they I guess basically put in a thing to delay it, so they, I don't know, to defend it, I guess, but the court shot that down and said nah, and this basically just they just said that this, you know, read the law, so. The name, I do believe, was taken off. I know they had scaffolding up and they started taking it down, but then it started raining, so they kind of just ceased working. And I don't know. I assume working on scaffolding in the rain is probably dangerous, I guess. I would assume that's what happened. But I would assume they're taken down now. I don't know for sure, but I think it'd be good. I had something else here. Yes, the Supreme Court has ruled that the Department of Homeland Security has the ability to extend or end temporary protection status for immigration, or I guess immigrant countries that we have granted that status to. As of this point, the administration has ended TPS for 13 of the 17 countries that we had granted it to. And, yeah. Mike DeWine, our governor, has said that he's not a fan of it. He has a quote here. As a result of today's ruling, the over 10,000 Haitians who have been living in Ohio legally through TPS will now be here illegally and will be subject to immediate deportation. This also means that while these Haitians were working and contributing to our community and economy yesterday, today it is now illegal to employ them. You know, I think DeWine's a sensible kind of fellow. You know, say what you want about DeWine, you might not like his politics, but he's certainly a sensible guy. You know, I don't know. Immigrants are good for the economy. I mean, I think that's, you know, generally agreed upon. Immigrants are good for the economy. And also, like, just, I mean, he mentioned the Haitians because we have a large Haitian population in Ohio. Sending the Haitians back to Haiti at this point is a terrible idea. I mean, Haiti is still, and I don't know if you guys remember what happened to Haiti, but Haiti's government kind of collapsed, and now right now, gangs and organized crime groups and militias and things like that are out running the streets and murdering people and things like that. So I don't think sending them back to Haiti is a great thing to do. Like, you know, they had temporary protection status, you know, TPS, because Haiti was falling apart, or I guess still is falling apart. It hasn't gotten any better. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. The State Department has like if you're going to travel somewhere, they have like travel advisories. Haiti has a level 4 travel advisory, and level 4 is do not travel. Okay. From their website, by the way, crimes involving firearms are common. And then, it's a separate little arrow, but crimes include robbery, carjacking, sexual assault, and kidnappings for ransom. All I'm saying is, sending them back there is not a good thing to do. Will they go back eventually? Yes, that's how temporary works. Is temporary longer sometimes than other times? Yes. But, you know, Haiti's still on the downturn. And, like, you can't even fly into Haiti right now. The ports, or the airports are shut down. I don't think commercial planes fly into Haiti. I could be wrong about that, though. That, you'd have to look into that. I do believe they have the port shut, or the airport shut down, though. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's an embassy. Well, actually, I think there is, because I was reading on the website, the State Department website, that people from the embassy in Haiti are basically not allowed to leave the embassy for non-essential reasons. So I'd assume you can't leave for anything other than, like, buying groceries. So, I don't know how, you know. But, nonetheless, sending them back to Haiti is terrible. I don't know what all countries he removed it for, but, you know, here in Ohio, Haitians are the ones that mattered. I mean, I just got the, you know, I from DeWine's quote, at least, I looked at the, that's why I pulled up the Haiti travel advisory thing. But I don't know what all the other 13 are or how they're looking, but I know Haiti, for one, is still looking terrible. So yeah, I mean, I should have wrote the man's quote down, but there's a Republican who basically said that he's all for the removal, like he agrees with the court's ruling, but he thinks sending the Haitians back to Haiti right now is not a good idea. And I think that at the very least, that is a sensible argument. Now, I personally, you know, I don't know why it matters, but I mean, if you are opposed to, I mean, it's not like they're illegal immigrants. You made them illegal immigrants when you took away the temporary protection status. So yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what you're supposed to do. You know. I mean, I don't know what the immigrants are supposed to do either. Maybe they're supposed to like turn themselves in legally. I really couldn't tell you. But boy, howdy, I wouldn't want to be deported. And yeah, and like DeWine said, now you can't employ them. It's illegal to employ illegal immigrants. Who would have thunk it? But I don't know. Nonetheless, I guess we'll see what happens there. I mean, I guess they're going to start rounding up Haitians and deporting them. The the you know, ICE, the Immigration Control Enforcement, has the ability to, I think that's what it stands for, Customs, Immigration Customs Enforcement. That sounds so much better. Anyways, they now have full authority to start deporting Haitians. So that'll be good. But yes, on to something else. I don't know what really else to say about that. I think it's just a terrible idea, and Haiti's still in a bad place. But, you know, moving on to, I guess, California for a second. Gavin Newsom has proposed a new national tax policy. Rather than a state-by-state system, he proposed a minimum tax on anyone with a net worth of above $100 million. And he also wants to make it illegal for wealthy people to borrow against their stock portfolios to fund their luxury lifestyles, tax-free. That's good. I mean, I don't know how the legislation actually reads. I haven't read the actual legislation itself or how he even proposed it to a new national, to the national level. Maybe he just sent it to, like, I mean, I know you can, like, get bills sponsored if you send them to your, like, your representative, so maybe he just sent it to a representative in California to sponsor, but I don't know how it works. I mean, if they're, like, abolishing taxes on anybody below that, I think you're gonna bankrupt the government, truth be told. So, you know, I don't know what you do about that, but I think that we could have taxes on people who make above $100 million. I think that's valid. You know, $100 million is a lot of money. What are you doing with $100 million? You know? And also, I agree with the whole... I don't know how they're going to do the whole taxing above $100 million, but I do agree fully with the making it illegal to use your stock portfolio to borrow against. Because if we can't tax you for your stock portfolio, then you can't use your stock portfolio to take out loans to fund things. You can't say I don't have it when you're looking to, you know, pay taxes, I suppose, but then say I have it when getting bank loans. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. I know. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to pick one. I still think they're getting the better end of the deal. I say we tax it and tell them they can't borrow against it. That'd be great. But, you know, what do I know, I guess? 740-383-9944, if you have anything to say, by the way. We can talk about anything from city level to state level to national level. I think it'll be good. We did learn the other night, by the way, speaking of city level, that the local Democrats aren't going to have a tent at the fair. I don't know what's up with that, but I think that's a terrible idea on their behalf. I think you gotta have a presence. You gotta be out and about talking to people if you want people to support you. And the Marion Democratic Party is certainly not doing a good job of that. So I guess we'll see where that goes. I mean, I do believe Kent's gonna be there at the fair, so you can go see Kent at the fair. I don't know who's all going to be there for the Republicans, but they usually have a pretty good man tent, so I'd expect to see a good number of people. But yeah, so I guess we only have 8 minutes left, and time flew on by. If you have anything to say in the last 8 minutes, do feel free to call in. Like I said, 740-383-9944. The last story I have here to talk about is the, I guess, renewal of the conflict in Iran. Donald Trump says Iran broke the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, by attacking a cargo ship in the Strait. The Strait of Hormuz. You know, like I said on the, I don't remember if it was the first hour or the second hour, but nonetheless, like I said, it's more like the U.S. attacked Iran after Iran attacked a ship in the Strait, after Israel bombed Lebanon, after the Memorandum of Understanding. There you go. Israel bombed Lebanon. Iran said that in backwards order. This is forwards, I guess. So, Memorandum of Understanding signed. Israel bombs Lebanon. Iran says Israel broke the peace, or the Memorandum of Understanding. and takes the and closes the strait again. A cargo ship tries to use the strait. Iran attacks it with drones. The United States says Iran broke the memorandum of understanding, and then we bombed Iran. Hopefully that made sense. So, you know, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know what people thought were going to happen. I mean, you know, Israel certainly had no intentions of stopping before. I don't know what this was going to do. I mean, they weren't involved in the negotiations. So, you know, there's that. But as of recently, I think maybe as of today, actually, I don't recall when it was signed, but there was an agreement made between, Israel and Lebanon to cease fire. So I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know what the terms are of that when I just happen to see it. So hopefully that holds up. And if that holds up, then hopefully we can get a renewed memorandum of understanding, and then we can go into the second round of negotiations with Iran. Now, you know, by the way, it is kind of sketchy, the whole memorandum of understanding. Nobody ever saw the paper. It was read over the phone by a Trump administration official. Iran has never showed it also, but they never disputed anything. So, yeah, I'm hoping that I trust Iran on this one, because they've called Donald Trump's bluff every time he's lied during this conflict, and yeah, so I'm just hedging my bets that they would call us on our bluff again, especially because, you know, I mean, what's the point in lying? They would just lie what's the point in lying and making yourself look bad? If Donald Trump was going to lie, if the Trump administration, I guess, was going to lie, they would probably lie to make themselves look good. And then Iran would be like, that's not right. But they didn't. So I'd assume that that was at least pretty close to the actual agreement. But yeah, so there's that. By the way, I think the Senate has passed theirs. I'm not 100% sure, but I know the House has passed their War Powers Act resolution. So he had some time, 30 or 60 days. I don't remember the exact time limit. 30 to 60 days to cease fire, remove troops from the Middle East, you know, the region, and put an end to the conflict. Or he had to come before the Senate and Congress, or Senate and House, to seek an official declaration of war. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know. One second. I'm trying to see if the Senate one passed also. I should have done this before the show. You know, no. On June 24th, 2026, the Senate rejected a crucial motion to proceed, which is Senate Resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 185, which is a War Powers Act. Yeah. And it failed. The count was 47 yeas to 50 nays. Two did not vote, and one who did not vote was present. Mitch McConnell did not vote. He's in the hospital. I think he's still in the hospital, at least. I haven't heard anything otherwise. Who was the other, non-vote? Well, I guess I might just be blind. I don't see it. Oh, there we go. Yeah, Mitch McConnell and, Bennett. Democrat out of Colorado. I don't know what he was up to, but he was probably a yes vote. So either way, it still would have failed 48 to 50. Yeah, I mean, I did a whole show about the War Powers resolutions. Congresses did pass, or sorry, the houses did pass, because Congress is, you know, both houses. The House did pass Congress. I knew it would be close, because even if they had I don't remember how it exactly laid out, but I did the math, and even if everybody voted, it would have been 50-50, which would have left J.D. Vance the tiebreaker, and obviously J.D. Vance would have voted no. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't remember the exact breakdown, but should everybody have voted the way they voted, it would have been 50-50, and it would have been no. Because J.D. Vance. But I don't know. I guess they... I don't know how that works. I don't know if the Senate overrides the House. I don't know if the House overrides the Senate. I mean, the Senate's more powerful, I do believe. That's why there's you know, two houses. One's the upper, one's the lower. Lower house has more people. A higher house has less. I do believe that's how that works. You know, it's... that was the whole point of the House. To appease the small states. The House was the big states because, you know, they wanted to go by population. The Senate was the small states because they wanted it to be equal. So they did both of them. But yeah, nonetheless, you know, I don't really know how to end this show. I mean, it's coming up on an end, but, I don't know. It's been an interesting year and a half, that much I can say. I don't know. I'm excited to see how midterms turn out. I think there's going to be a lot of overturn there, but you can only hope. So, with that being said, you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page is a listen live button. I appreciate everybody for listening. Have a nice night, and goodbye.
Fucking place. Just listen to